Well, we're going to look this evening at Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6, and our subject this evening is investing for eternity. We're going to speak of future things this evening. We read here in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Literally, this means treasure not your treasures. It's a play on words. Treasure not your treasures. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. We're going to speak of the things that lie beyond the grave, of eternity. Many people don't like to think of these things. They don't like to think that there is an afterlife, that we do not die in our souls when our physical bodies are finished. They like to think that death is the end. Well, I want to give you an illustration just at the beginning by way of one of the slogans that we're hearing very often. At this time, there is a slogan going around: we only have one planet. There is no plan B, only plan A. For many people, it's a great concern. That, especially amongst the younger generation, there seems to be significant climate change and the effects of our actions upon the planet, upon global temperatures. Just this week in Siberia, the temperature reached 38 degrees centigrade. It's unheard of. There seems to be some unusual patterns, to say the least. People are concerned, the young people, that we're depleting the fossil fuels, emitting carbon. They're worried, what about our children's children? What sort of planet will we have? Will there even be a planet? Will the temperature go up by more than +2 degrees, that danger zone? So they tell us. And so the campaigners are highlighting the dangers. We only have one planet. We need to look after it. We need to think of the future, not for us, but for those that to come. People are concerned about the future. It's slightly ironic. Most of the time, people are only concerned with now, now, now. They don't think about the future. Many people don't save for a pension. They worry about the future when the future comes, but apparently when it comes to the planet, there is no plan B. There must be just plan A. Well, the question for us then, we're not talking about climate change, but we are talking about the future. The future, that's what this verse is all about. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. We're considering what preparation that we're making for the future. You see, the first question is this: how are you investing all that God has given you? He's given you certain things, very valuable things. What are you doing with them? Not coal, not oil, not nuclear power, but the things that God has given you uniquely. He's given you a good many things. What are you doing with them in your life? What you do now with those things will determine your eternity. It will determine your future. It will determine whether you live in eternity with God or away from God. These things are very important. The question posed by these verses 19 to 21 that we'll look at tonight: are we investing for time or for eternity? There's a contrast here. It speaks about earth and it speaks about heaven. Are you living for now, or are you living for the life that is beyond the grave? That's really what the Lord Jesus is thinking about. This is part of that great Sermon on the Mount. He particularly has in mind his Jewish hearers. It was well known that the elite, the well-to-do of that time, were notorious for being money-minded. Jews have always had a reputation. This isn't a comment to slight them in any way. In fact, it's a compliment in some ways. They've always been very careful with their money. They've always thought about how to invest it. Some of the wealthiest in the world are Jews by race, by nation, by descent, and they've been very prudent, very wise, very good businessmen. And that's really who the Lord Jesus has in mind. He's speaking to those who are laying up treasures in this life. They are accumulating. They're thinking about when they get older. They're thinking not about eternity, but about this life. Well, when we go to school, I think it's when you get to the age of 4 or 5 or 6, it might be homeschool, or it might be day school. We are taught value. You get one of those number lines. Children find the concept of value quite difficult. We start with a number line and we speak about less than or more than, larger or smaller. Well, this really, these verses are the ABC of spiritual value. Where do we place value in our life? Where do we put our treasure? What things do we really store up for eternity? Well, the first point made by these verses, where to invest and where not to invest. Lay not up treasures on earth. We tend to be so earth-minded. When we're young, we have no thought that one day we'll be without our bodies. We'll just be souls, disembodied from our soul, will be our dead body. And our spirits will rise, either to be with God or to be away from God in eternal punishment, because we've not been rich towards God, as the Bible says. The saying goes, another slogan, this life is the only life. Enjoy it while you can. Think just about now. Well, when it comes to the world of investment, before I became a pastor, many of you know that that was my occupation for many years, managing other people's money, the money that goes into a pension. It doesn't just disappear in a hole in the ground. It doesn't just stay in gold bars. It gets invested. And some people have that responsibility. Where to invest it? If you're managing other people's money, there's lots of questions you ask. What's been the history of this investment in the past, you might ask? Well, the answer is people that have invested all their time, all their energy, just in this life they've died, they've got nothing to show for it. The riches can't go with them. We might ask another question. Is this investment safe? You know, it says in the small print, you could lose all your money. If you invest in this life, you will lose all your value. Well, another question that gets asked before you invest your pension, do we trust the person who's investing it for us? Have they got integrity? Has this pension company, have they got a good track record? Are they trustworthy? Have they got integrity? Would I trust my savings with them? Well, for some, they've got a bad track record. They've lost a lot of money, and they're not really trustworthy. Who's the one that speaks here? The Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is ultimately, completely trustworthy. He's never broken a promise. He's never told a lie. Everything he says as your investment manager is totally reliable. He tells you things as they really are. Lay up for yourselves. I'm not managing your money. You're not managing mine. You're managing your own spiritual riches. Before a company goes on the stock market, before it floats, as they call it, an IPO, there is a prospectus. It's a booklet, usually 50, 60 pages. There's lots and lots of small print at the back. Most people don't read it. But there has to be a list of risks. If you invest your money in Facebook or in a petrol company, you get told the risks. You could have problems. The government could make Facebook's life very difficult. The government could say, oil is banned. Nobody can use it anymore. It's got to be renewable energy, those turbines that go round. That's the sort of thing it says. Well, really, what we have before this evening is a prospectus for heaven, for eternity. The risks are going to be put before us very clearly tonight. Value of your investments can go up and down, it says in the small print. You could lose all your money. Well, here is the warnings. Let's turn to the risks. There's three of them mentioned in this prospectus. It says, if you store up everything that God has given you in this life, there is a danger. Moths. Moths? What's that got to do with my riches? Well, children, there is a particular kind of moth. It's called the cloths moth's larvae, or the cloth larvae. It does great damage. You just ask your mum, maybe your dad. Your mum probably knows more about such things. If she has a particularly nice dress and it's got some silk in it. Men don't tend to wear silk, that's why I mention the women. If it's made of wool, you just look to see, is there a hole? You see this particular kind of moth, it gets into the wardrobe, it lays its larvae, it eats through the silk, the cotton, the wool, the cashmere, I don't know what your clothes are made of, and it takes the fibers and it eats on those fibers and it turns it into a thing called keratin. And it can live off the nutrients in your clothing. Moth-eaten clothes? Who wants those? Who wants moth-eaten clothes? You might have the most expensive Versace dress. I don't know much about these things. But all of a sudden, it was worth £5,000. It's worth nothing. Moth eaten. Well, that's the first risk. Then there's a second risk. This one, I don't know why, but it naturally seems to lend itself more to the men. It talks about rust. The word doesn't literally mean rust, it means corrosion, the wearing away, corruption. We naturally think of cars, motor cars. We naturally think about things which we can drive in. I'm sure that's not the picture, maybe it was chariots or something like that. But something that's valuable, something made of silver or gold, something that can corrode. And this word says to us, if all the things that you value are made of metal, oh, I'm sorry to say, the value of your investment can go down. The rust will corrode it. It will eat it up. Well, then there's a third risk. It says here, if you've got something really valuable that the moths can't eat, that the erosion and the corrosion of oxygen won't eat away, oh, I'm sorry to say, the thieves could come. If you've got an art collection, maybe the moths won't eat it. Maybe it won't erode and corrode, but somebody will come and take that Van Gogh painting, take that Salvador Dali and come and take it and sell it in an auction. All your value is gone. That's the three pictures. Well, we're not talking about these things. I'm sure very few people have got art collections, Versace dresses, and a £200,000 red Ferrari. But where are you putting your value tonight? Because you either, there's only two places to invest. That's what these verses say. It's not about one pension company or a bank or the stock market tonight. It's about earth or heaven. That's what the Lord Jesus says in these verses. Are you putting all your money into your bank account? Well, that's a good thing. Pay off the mortgage. Do you know the majority of adults in this country, when you add up their debts and their savings, they're actually in debt. You have a mortgage, it usually takes 20 years to pay it off, and most of the time, until you retire, you will be on balance in debt. You've actually got nothing. Well, what about your possessions? Is that really where you're putting your time and your energy? The next thing, what about your family? What about your home or your car? Or maybe it's not something you can touch, not something you can account for. Maybe it's your goals, your dreams, your aims. You see, that's where some people put all their energy in this life. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not, verse 19, treasures upon earth. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are investing in this earth. The moths, the rust, the thieves could take it all away. You'd have nothing to show. If you put all your effort into your business, into your career, you could lose your job. You could lose your business. You'd have nothing to show. What would happen then? But there's a great contrast. I want to come to that contrast. What does God give us to invest? He gives us three things. He gives us a body. A body that has great faculties, the senses to think, to touch, to smell, to reason, to hear, to see wonderful things. The Bible says, present your bodies. One day you'll have to come before God and you'll have to take your body and present it before God and say, this is what I've done with my body. This is what I've touched. This is what I've done with my senses. This is what I've done to please God. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable, pleasing to God. Can you say that? One day, can you say, this is how I've lived my life? I've lived it for God. I've been rich towards God. Or like me, like others here tonight, you've come to realize that's not what we've done with our bodies, with our minds, with our thoughts, with our hands, the places we've gone to, the things we've looked at. We have to say, Lord God, we need to be cleansed. Before we would even dare to come before God, the God that sees right inside me, and he knows every thought and everything that I've ever done. Well, he's given us a mind, not just a body, a mind to think about his truth, the truth that speaks right to our heart. Have you thought about what God thinks of you? Have you thought about the fact that one day you'll appear before him and he'll be your judge and you'll have to give an account? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about each star in the sky, each flower that appears before you? Have you chosen to look and think there's a designer, a creator behind these wonderful things? Behind every star, we think there's a God who's made billions of stars. He made the stars also, almost like an afterthought. And yet they shine so brightly. And they teach us that there's a God. Behind every flower, we see the beauty. It's there for no other reason but to draw you to God. Have you used your mind to think about such things? But thirdly, even more importantly, he's given you a soul. And that's what he's speaking to tonight. Your never dying soul. The soul that God has given to every single human being. What are you doing with it? Are you using it for God? Or are you abusing it? Ignoring it, pretending it's not there? What are you doing with these three valuable things? Body, mind, soul. Some people say there's just two. It doesn't matter. God has given you all of those faculties. Well, finally, let's look at verse 21, this delightful verse. How are we to invest for eternity? It's just here in this phrase. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's two places to invest. You can invest in this life. You can put all your effort, all your time, all your thinking into this life. Children, teenagers, young people, are you investing for now? Maybe you're investing for a career. That's still this life. Are you investing for the time beyond the grave? This life is just a stepping stone to eternity. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God wants you to put your treasure not in the place where moth and rust and thieves will come, but in heaven, in eternity, in what lives beyond the grave. So how can we do this? Let me try to give you some advice this evening. Just a few things. You need to put God first, not what you can touch, not what you can feel, not what you can see. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, God's things, not my things, not your things. Seek first the kingdom of God. Secondly, you need to listen to what God says to you, about this life, about eternity. He speaks to you directly. He addresses your soul. He says to you, if you're investing in this life, fool, this night your soul might be required of you. What then will you have to show? You've invested in barns, more barns, like a farmer, a bigger barn. It could all be gone. Nothing to show. You need to realize the order of things. God isn't saying don't have riches. He's not saying don't have possessions, don't get me wrong, but don't put your treasure into treasure. Don't put your energy into the things in this life. There's two more things you need to realize. Two more bits of advice. If you're going to be rich towards God, you need to have two things before you can come to eternity. Do you know what they are? You need to be perfect in God's sight. You need to have lived a totally perfect life. Is there anyone that can say that? I didn't think so. Not one of us meet the standard of God. You need the Lord Jesus' perfect life put into your pension, put into your bank account that's overdrawn. And then you'll have riches. You'll have an eternal pension that cannot be measured. That's the first thing. But secondly, that's not enough. You also need your record of sin washed away, your heart cleansed. And that can only be done by the precious blood of the one that's speaking here, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can be rich towards God because your sin has been taken away, and in his sight you're righteous and you're rich. Rich beyond wildest dreams. Because of these two things, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is there someone tonight? And all up until now, up until this point of time, you've just been thinking about this life. No thought for God. No thought for eternity. No thought for heaven. No thought for hell. Where your heart is, where your energies are, where your affections are, where the things that you value most, that's where your treasure is. And the only place that you can invest that will not be taken away, will not be eaten, will not be corroded, is in heaven. Let me just close by giving you the treasure that the people of God have. This is treasure that nobody can take away. The treasure is spiritual life instead of earthly life. It's what the Lord Jesus called everlasting life. He speaks about springs that bubble up and well. They can't be stopped. They can't be quenched. That's the life of a Christian. Wells of water never ending. The Lord Jesus speaks of the gift of new life. It can never be taken away and never be lost. He speaks about our life being hid in the hand of the Good Shepherd and no one can snatch it away. He speaks about eternal life being like a chain which nobody can break because you are chained willingly to God in that perfect chain. He speaks about being loved for God, loved by God, with an everlasting love so that that cannot be separated. He speaks about a foundation that can never be destroyed. And he speaks about an inheritance. When people die, they leave all their wealth because they can't take it with them. Are you due an inheritance when somebody dies? Some people do something awful. They call it inheritance grabbing. They look for old people, the homes that they live in, and they snatch the home. They take people who are frail, people whose mind has begun to go, and sell their houses. They take what's not theirs and they snatch an inheritance. My friends tonight, no one can snatch your inheritance. If your inheritance is in heaven, if your treasure is hid with Christ, it's secure. It won't go down in value and that treasure cannot be lost. My friends tonight, invest for eternity. Don't invest for time. Don't invest in this life. I can tell you, as somebody that's handled a lot of money on behalf of other people, Don't invest in this life. The richest people I've ever met, and I've met one or two very wealthy people, and they are some of the most miserable. Put your riches into that eternal pension, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just read these verses together. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, where moth and rust and thieves can take it away, but lay up for yourselves treasures, eternal treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor thieves can come. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look down to verse 33. This sums it up. This is what you need to do. But seek first the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this earth, and his righteousness. That's what we need. And all these other things, happiness, satisfaction, purpose, a new family, they will all be added unto you. Trust my words tonight. Trust everyone here that's had the same conversion. We can tell you, this pension, this investment is the only one to have tonight. Just as we close, let me tell you about one man. He lived in Australia quite some time ago. He could hardly speak. He wasn't a man of education. He wasn't a man of letters. But he knew the meaning of eternity. He used to go round at night. I hope I haven't told you this before. He used to get a piece of chalk. And in the early hours of the morning, he would write that word, eternity, eternity, all over the city of Sydney. People would walk round the streets. Eternity, eternity. They called him Mr. Eternity. Just before he died, they discovered it was him. At the turn of the millennium, 2,000 years, the bridge of Sydney, that famous bridge near the Sydney Opera House, was lit up in wonderful lights. Eternity. Speaking about the future, what lied beyond the year 2000. But he spoke of something much greater. His life had been changed. He walked into a building like this. He'd never been into such a church before. And he heard a message about eternity. His life was changed. He made it his business to put eternity before as many people as he possibly could, tens of millions of people through his life, not just in Australia, but elsewhere, copied his practice or saw what he had written. Mr. Eternity, tonight, that's our message. Invest for eternity. Let's pray together. Our loving and gracious and kind Heavenly Father, the God who wants us to think not just of this life of clothing, of food, of possessions, of jobs, of homes, of cars, but to think of eternity, to think of our never-dying soul. Oh Lord, tonight, may all our heart, our attention, our thought, our plans, all our thinking, even this very night, be for eternity. Lord, speak to us within the quietness of our hearts tonight, and may we seek that one who we can be with for all eternity. May we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, even this very night, the youngest and the oldest. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.